idea, then they start going through the Bible and looking for ways to prove their idea. I'm not criticizing that kind of preaching. That's fine. They preach about the Word. I preach the Word. And so when I use an overhead projector, I simply go down through what the Word says and try to let it speak for itself. It may do that two or three times. And I'm going to talk about a saving faith this morning. A saving faith exhibits two things, substance and evidence. A lot of times you hear someone say of a Baptist, well, the way that fellow acts, I just don't believe he's saved. Well, you know, they may be right. Because when you talk about a saving faith, you're not talking about something that's casual. You're not talking about something where somebody walks down the street and says, well, let's see, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I'm a lost sinner, please save me. It's not a casual thing. It's not just repeating something that a man says. It's not just somebody giving you a prayer and you repeating it and then they're saying, well, now, do you feel saved? Oh, yeah, I feel saved. Well, good, you are. A saving faith exhibits two things, substance and evidence. Does the life you're living exhibit these two elements of faith? The more you exhibit these two characteristics of living faith, the better your report card will be at Christ's judgment seat. Some of you here have relatives that you just don't want to believe they're lost because it would be terrifying for you to believe that. And so you tend to make faith something that's real casual. And surely my father's saved. Surely my mother is saved. Surely my brother is saved. Surely my friend is saved. Because you're so anxious for them to be allowed to go to heaven, you fail to be objective about what the Scripture says. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, what faith is. Now, it doesn't say faith could be this, might be this, probably is this. In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance. Faith has substance. It has a foundation. It's something that's real. It's something that can be evaluated. It's something that's tangible. And you can see it in a person. You can sense it in a person. You can know it's in a person because of the things they hope for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence there, the literal word, means proof. It means the proof that faith exists in this person. You can look at their life. You can see the proof of the things not seen. Now, a lot of times, people like to believe that everybody's saved. And that's a nice idea. They like to believe that just a casual walk down an aisle or following one of your friends down an aisle because they made a profession of faith or feeling a little bit guilty in coming down an aisle is what saved you. In the history of many churches, there have been many people that walked down an aisle for many different reasons. We've had people that have come down this church aisle because their wife left them and they wanted their wife back. So they came and made a profession of faith to get their wife back. And when their wife didn't return to them, they immediately abandoned the profession of faith and gave no evidence that their faith had substance. Now, I know one thing. A saving faith is one that you can see. And it's one that was demonstrated in the Old Testament. In Hebrews 11, 2, it says, for by it, that is this faith that has substance and this faith that has evidence, the elders obtained a good report. There's no such thing as a bad faith. Faith is either good or it isn't faith. And this good report that these elders put before us in the book of Hebrews is very clearly outlined. The elders are specifically mentioned right after this. First, he talks about Abel, Cain's brother, who offered the type of sacrifice that God directed. Then he talks about the one who was translated, raptured ahead of his time, Enoch, if you will. Then he talks about, by faith, Noah, then by faith, Abraham, then by faith, Isaac, then by faith, Jacob, then by faith, Moses, then by faith, Joseph, then by faith, Sarah, then by faith, Rahab, then by faith, Samuel, then by faith, Jephthah, then by faith, David, by faith, all the prophets. And he lists all of them. Now, I hope your faith has substance, and I hope your faith is real. If your faith isn't real, it doesn't have any substance, and it doesn't give any evidence, and it isn't faith. So one of the elders listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as having obtained a good report, let's take a look at his faith, and let's see if the description of his faith matches the kind of faith you have. In Romans 4:20, continuing into chapter 5, verse 2 of the book of Romans, we're told about one of these elders. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God. God has promised you, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God's Son has told you, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Paul has told you that he testified repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has also told us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 50 years ago, I called out to Jesus Christ to save me from what I am by birth, a rotten, ungodly, corrupt sinner. When he saved me by a promise and a seed that he made in the Garden of Eden that would one day come and crush the serpent's head. I believe the promise of God. I don't believe I can lose my salvation. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe you can lose your salvation? If you believe you can lose your salvation, you are staggering at the promise of God. You're staggering at the promise of God. You're trying to add something to it, and you're not having a full, complete confidence in God. Your faith is not based on what God promised, but on what you can do. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You say, "Well, I believe Jesus is God's Son." Well, so do the devils, and tremble. You say, "I believe he died on the cross." So do the devils. I believe he shed his blood. You say, "I believe that. I believe he died for my sins." Well, the devils know he died for your sins. And the devils are well aware of all that. And they believe all that. But if you don't have full confidence in Jesus Christ, if you have so little confidence in Christ that you believe that you've got to add to or take away from what he did to justify yourself before God, you don't have a faith that has substance. You don't have faith that gives evidence of proof. You're staggering at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief is failing to believe the promise of God in Christ Jesus. So what kind of faith did Abraham have but was strong in faith? A strong faith is one that has substance, and at once it gives proof of its existence, giving glory to God. A faith that has so little confidence in God that you believe he will leave you or forsake you, or that what Jesus did at Calvary was not enough, is not a saving faith. Now, there are many people who like to believe that all these people in different beliefs that believe you can lose your salvation are heaven-bound, and they are not. Because unless a person has the kind of faith that Abraham had and Isaac had, that believed the promise of God just because he made it, they don't have a strong faith in God. They don't give glory to God. They give glory to themselves. If you think you can lose your salvation, that means that you must add something to it in order to nail it down and secure it. And your faith is not in God's promise. It's in yourself. And if you believe that, you need to face the truth. And you need to start putting all your faith in Christ and not part of it. What kind of faith was it that the elders had? Well, Abraham is listed among them. Faith has substance. It has proof. And being fully persuaded, Abraham wasn't partially persuaded about this. He didn't suspect that God would keep his promise. He didn't think he might keep his promise. He was fully persuaded. And what was he fully persuaded of? That what he had promised, he was able also to perform. When you talk about faith having substance and evidence, it's one that doesn't stagger at the promise of God. It's one that's strong in faith. It's one that's fully persuaded that he's able to perform what he promised. I could not save myself. Neither can you. If you are sitting here this morning and you believe you can lose your salvation, you are lost and headed straight for hell. Because you are not confident in God's ability to keep you. Your confidence in your own conduct and your own ability to keep yourself. And you think what I'm saying is sheer insanity. You'll have an eternity in the lake of fire to discover that faith is by grace, unmerited favor, done all by Jesus at Calvary's cross. So I hope this morning that every one of you that are sitting here are fully persuaded that what God promised, he's able to perform. Jesus said, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, and be content with such things as you have, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise of God. If you don't believe that, you don't have a saving faith. You don't trust Jesus. You trust Jesus in something else, and it won't work, because you don't have a full persuasion that what God accomplished in Christ is able to perform that which he sent him to accomplish. And therefore it, what? A weak, lily-livered faith that wasn't sure whether God would keep his promise or not. A weak, lily-livered faith that Abraham had that believed he had to help God. A weak, lily-livered faith that believed God couldn't quite bring it off unless somewhere along the way Abraham helped him. No. A full persuasion of faith. One that didn't stagger at the promise of God. God promised Abraham a son. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it, that kind of faith. Not this lily-livered faith that believes Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins. The devils know all that happened. But until you put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you, what you are, an ungodly, wretched, helpless sinner, my friend, you don't have any righteousness. You weren't born with any. There is none righteous, no, not one. And therefore it, that full persuasion, was imputed to him for righteousness, and it's the only righteousness he had, and it's the only righteousness I have. Now, it was not written, this account of Abraham's experience in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, as it is recorded, that account was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. Well, why did God write it? Here was a man who believed God to the extent that he took a knife up in the air and was going to bring it down on his son. The only reason he did not bring it down upon his son is because God stopped him. But the reason that he didn't bring it down upon his son was because, according to the New Testament, Abraham believed that if he killed Isaac physically, that God would bring him back to life. I believe God's going to resurrect my old nature from the grave. And I believe whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. I've already been born again. I'm fully persuaded that right now, by the grace of God, there lives in me the very nature of God and the person of Christ, and I've been born again. And I'm absolutely positive that I have the righteousness of God living inside me in the person and form of a new birth, and Jesus is alive in me. My faith is not one that says, well, if I'll keep going to church, and if I'll give this, and if I'll be baptized, and if I'll do that, surely the Lord will accept me. I bow before God and tell you that is a blasphemous, ungodly way to behave towards God. If you don't enter those baptismal waters to please God because you are saved, you're going in for the wrong reason. And if you don't come to church out of a heart that's been saved and cleansed by God and in obedience to God, and if you're not here because you want to worship God in spirit and in truth, then you need to get saved. Because you cannot worship and please God without a new heart, and God alone can give you a new heart, and you've got to understand that the only righteousness that you have is imputed, accounted to you by God, and it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It wasn't just written for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it, what? The kind of righteousness that he imputed to Abraham, it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. All right, what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? It's belief. You can look up the two different words in the Bible. You'll discover they mean exactly the same thing. You can't really distinguish between belief and faith. They're the same thing. So what kind of faith or what kind of belief do you have? I didn't see Jesus resurrected from the dead. But I believe by faith that the Father raised him from the dead. So I have a faith that has substance. It gives proof that I believe what God says. Is that all that's necessary to be saved? Absolutely not. Who was delivered for our offenses? What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Who was delivered? My faith has substance and evidence. I believe that Jesus was delivered by the Father. Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for our offenses. I believe that right there at Calvary, he was delivered up, he suffered, he bled, and died. And I believe he took away my sins. I believe he took away my sins in his own body on the tree. Why? Because God says so. Now, if he took away my sins in his body on the tree, there is no sin that can send me to hell. And I have 1 John 1:9. If we are faithful and just to confess us our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I sin in the flesh and I do not confess it, asking God's forgiveness, then God punishes me in the flesh and God takes back his justice in my flesh. But I will never be delivered into the hands of Satan in the lake of fire because I have a faith in Christ. Jesus will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And Jesus did everything that was necessary to save my soul forever. So when you talk about a saving faith, just believing that God raised him from the dead, it isn't enough. You have to believe that he was delivered and took away your sins. And if you don't believe that, then you're still in your sins. And if you think that after you're saved, that you've got to atone or make up for your sins, or if you commit a certain number above a level that nobody seems to understand where the top is, that you go to hell, you're not saved. You don't know Christ, and you need to get saved. And was raised again for our justification. Is believing that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he was delivered for your sins enough to save you? Absolutely not. One of the promises of God, things hoped for, things not seen, is that he was delivered for your offenses. And if you don't believe that, you're not saved. And was raised again for our justification. If you don't believe that God resurrected Jesus and he's your only justification, and you don't have any other justification for God, then my friends, you're headed straight for hell. Because faith has to have substance, and it has to have proof, or it isn't a saving faith. This whimsical, wispy type of faith that people make today is no more saving people than to simply look up to heaven and say, Lord, save me. Therefore, being justified. I want you to notice being justified, both in the inspired language of the received text from which the King James translators made this, and even in English you can see it. It says being justified. It doesn't say one day I may be justified, one day I shall be justified. He said if you believe that God raised up the Lord from the dead, if you believe that he was delivered for your sins and he's taken away your sins, and if you believe he's raised again and he's your only justification, you are justified by faith right now. And it's not something you have to wait to see after you die and hope it. I've heard people say, well, if anybody makes it, surely she will. She did this, she did that, she did this, she did that, and she's probably roasting in hell right now because she never did trust Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. If you believe you can lose your salvation, don't sit there and tell me you have peace with God. Because you're not justified by faith. You're afraid if you do this or if you do that or if you say this or if you don't go to church enough, if you don't live this way, do that way, that you're going to hell. Well, I got some news for you. You are going to hell. But the reason you're going to hell is because you're not justified by faith in Jesus and you don't have peace with God. I have peace with God. I don't lay down at night and worry about going to hell. I don't get up every morning and with a fear that I'm going to do something wrong that day that would send me to hell. I have peace. I have rest with God. Why? Because it is not based on what I do. It is based on what Jesus did, what he is doing, and what he shall do. All my faith is in Christ. And if your faith is in Christ, you're lost. And if you believe you can lose your salvation, you're headed straight for hell. You're quite right, you can. And the reason that you're going to lose your salvation is because you don't have it. You never received it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have any peace if you're sitting here this morning believing you can lose your salvation because you're scared to death that you're going to do something between now and the time that you physically depart this earth or Jesus comes that's going to send you to hell. You don't have peace with God. You have an inner consternation. You may outwardly say, well, I certainly do, and you're lying like a scalded dog because inside there's a fear of going to hell. I don't have any fear of going to hell. Jesus did it all. By whom also we have access by faith. We have access. That's a promise. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I have access by faith into the grace, the unmerited favor, wherein we stand. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, by the same Jesus Christ, we have access. I have continual access with God. The spiritual union that Jesus formed between myself and the Father, with him as the intercessor, with Christ and me, I and Christ and God, cannot be broken by anyone except God, and he has promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. I know what grace is. If you're sitting here thinking you can lose your salvation, you don't have any concept of what grace is. The word grace means unmerited favor. It means something that was done, that there was nothing you have ever done or could ever do or ever will do that would justify you before God. I stand by faith in Christ Jesus. And because of what he did, he has bought and paid for me a salvation that I had no part in except to praise and honor and glorify his name because he saved me, a totally helpless, lost sinner, when it was impossible for me to save myself. And he keeps me by his power because it is impossible for me to keep myself because I am still a sinner in the flesh, even though God has saved and sealed my soul. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. A person that believes the promises of God rejoices in hope. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are many things I'm hoping for. I'm hoping before the judgment seat of Christ that I might be found faithful. I'm hoping before the judgment seat of Christ that I have yielded my spirit to Christ. I'm hoping before the judgment seat of Christ that Christ, having lived his life in me, I've let him have his way. I'm hopeful for many things, but it's all for the glory of God that is in Christ Jesus, and it's all in Jesus. And unless all your faith is in Jesus, you don't have a saving faith. Hebrews 3:18, then down to verse, up through chapter 4 and verse 3. Hebrews 3:18 through chapter 4 and verse 3. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Right now, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, you don't have peace with God. You can fool yourself, but you can't fool God. And really, I don't think you can fool yourself. If you think you can lose your salvation, you don't have any inner peace. You don't have any inner comfort. You don't have any inner strength. And who is it that will not enter into the rest of God, but to them that believe not? Look up here in Romans 4 and 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. If you believe you can lose your salvation, you're calling God a liar. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. The promises of God are real and they are genuine. And a strong faith is a strong faith in the promise of God and not in your own ability. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You say, well, I believe Jesus is God's Son, and I believe He died on the cross for my sins, and I believe He's who He says He is. So do the devils. And you're going to burn in hell and end up in a lake of fire because you will not put your belief totally in Jesus Christ, and you don't have any peace or any rest. I do. I bow before God, and I publicly acknowledge there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And I totally give all the credit, all the recognition, all the praise, and all the glory to one man, Jesus Christ. All my hope, all my faith is in Jesus and what He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do. Therefore, I have rest. Because if I had to add to what Jesus had done, or take away from what Jesus had done, I would never have any rest or peace in my life or in my heart. There could be no assurance that I was going to heaven. But I have the absolute assurance that I'm going to heaven because I'm going by grace through what Jesus did. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Who is it that seems to come short of it? Well, most of the religious world today believes that you can lose your salvation. That wasn't true in the beginning. And those who believe that they can don't have this rest. They don't believe the promise of God. They don't believe that Jesus saves. They believe Jesus plus baptism saves. They believe Jesus plus baptism plus works saves. They believe all that, and they never find any rest or peace in this life, and they come short of it. Why? Because they never do truly exhibit or have. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Their faith is in Jesus and something else. And you cannot place it anywhere except in Jesus. And there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What kind of faith is he talking about? Well, according to God, here's the way he defines faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not your own workmanship. The next verse says, for we are his workmanship. You didn't create yourself. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. First you let the Spirit of God save you by grace through faith. Then you recognize, for we are his workmanship. He's the one who spiritually makes you into a new creation. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He's the one who does it. And then he tells you why he did it. Unto good works. That's the purpose for our salvation, that we could exercise good works. You can't exercise good works until you've got good inside you, and there is none good. And so you've got to have a new man living in you, a new nature from God. And you've got to trust him to make that spiritual transplant. And that spiritual transplant is the very spirit of Christ. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Well, they believed there was a God. They saw the cloud up over the tabernacle, the tent in the wilderness. They saw his miracles. They believed there was a God, but they never would trust him to save them from what they were. And they're burning in hell today because of it. They just believed that there was something they had to do to assist him. For we which have believed. Now, I'll tell you one way you can tell whether you have this saving faith or not. We which have believed do enter into rest. So if you've been sitting here this morning and you've been sitting there saying, well, I don't agree with him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, let me ask you something. Do you have that rest? This doesn't say, for we which have believed could enter into rest, might enter into rest. probably will enter into rest. It says, we which have believed do enter into rest. So everything I've shown you this morning, I'm in this rest. I don't have to worry about going to heaven. I'm at rest, at peace with God, and the reason is a very simple. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Now why do I have complete rest? Though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Before God ever made Adam, he knew that Adam would sin. He knew he would need a redeemer. And he knew that he would have to come in human flesh to reconcile man unto himself. God planned the works of Christ before the foundation of the world, before Adam was ever created. And in God's mind, they were already finished. That's why when Jesus died at Calvary, he took away the sins of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Until he took away their sins, in the Old Testament, the word for atonement is kafar. It means to sweep something under a rug and hide it temporarily until one day the rug can finally be lifted and all swept out from underneath it. When Jesus Christ hung at Calvary with his blood flowing down the cross and the agony in his body, he took Abraham's sins in his body. He took Isaac's. He took Jacob's. He took David's. He took Samuel's. He took mine. He took all the saints, all those of all ages who would have full confidence in the Messiah that he sent. If you believe you can lose your salvation, you don't have full confidence in the Messiah. And the reason I know I'm going to heaven is because when Christ hung at Calvary in John 19:30, he said, tetelestai, it is finished. And that man hanging alone and bearing my sins and the sins of all men of all the ages who would trust in him, buried my sins with him. God resurrected him from the dead for my justification. I stand at rest and at peace with God through the sacrifice of the man whom he sent to take away my sins. And the work of my salvation was completed by this man at Calvary. I'm at complete rest and peace with God. I've been set free. If you think you can lose your salvation, you've never been set free. You don't know what I'm talking about. I've been set free to serve God because I don't have the yoke of bondage on my neck that every time I sin, I think I'm going to hell. Every time I sin, I confess my sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive them. And there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know him as Savior? Are you trusting in Jesus? Or are you trusting in Jesus and something else? You don't have a saving faith. Because it's all in Jesus and nothing else. If you've been angered at me this morning, as you've heard these words, did you ever stop to think it might be God's Spirit leading you to the point where you'd finally come to Jesus and trust him alone? As we have this silent moment of prayer, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to look in your own heart and to ask yourself, do I believe it is necessary to help Jesus in any way to save me from what I am? If you do, you're lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why don't you let Jesus save you this morning? Why don't you put all your faith in him? Why don't you believe what he said? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. In these next few silent moments, between you and the Spirit of God, why don't you ask Jesus to save you?